Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here this morning. And I'm sure I'm disappointing some of you by being here today. You were expecting someone else to speak, but you get me today. Get a Bible and be ready to follow along with us in the study. Hopefully we'll look at something productive this morning and gain a better understanding of God's Word and what He wants us to do. And if you are visiting with us, please make sure that we get to meet you if we haven't already. We are glad for you to be here, and we would love for you to be a part of this congregation. If you're looking for a body of believers to join, we are striving to do the things that God would have us to do. And if we are doing anything, if we teach anything that you find not to be in accordance with the Word of God, please let us know so we can correct that. Our desire is to be pleasing to God above all. One of the habits we have as human beings is that we just like to talk about the things that interest us most. If you sit down with anybody, it probably won't be long before, if you start talking about nothing in particular, that you find out what it is that really interests them, whether they actually say it in plain words or not. But that is really nothing new. Jesus said long ago, and the passage was read earlier, Matthew 6 and verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what we value the most is what we tend to think about. And what we think about is what we end up talking about. When we add this to the fact that Jesus also said in Matthew 12 verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, we see that it has long been true that what we value the most is what we think about the most, and what we think about the most, what is in our minds, is what we talk about. So, with that in mind, we as Christians, what should we be talking about? Shouldn't we also be talking about the things that interest us most? And as Christians, what is our greatest interest but in things spiritual and in matters of the faith? Are we truly interested in lost souls? Are we interested in the salvation of our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers? Are we most interested in the eternal things? Well, don't answer those questions just yet. I want us to take a few minutes today to think about what we should be talking about as disciples of Jesus Christ. And then I want us to go home today and do a serious self-examination to see what it is that we do talk about the most with others. I believe it was Ben Franklin who once said, "Don't tell me what you believe. Let me follow you around for a day and I will know what you believe." Others can also know that about us by simply listening to us talk. And if we truly believe God's Word, are we talking about it? Is it so much a part of our thinking that we speak about it often and others would see that it is something very important to us? Today I want us to think about this. And when we think about what we talk about, I want us to seriously consider what it is that we talk about with others. Maybe it's that we're talking about things of temporary importance at best. But I want us to think about this so that we might start talking about things of eternal importance. Things like forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. When it comes to our common conversations that we do have, usually what we're talking about is earthly concerns. And the most common conversations tend to center on current events, like the weather, or the latest sports scores, or here lately, politics and politicians and government. Maybe it's for some fashion or the latest music, whatever's going on at school or at work. And we could go on and on with this list, but most often when we sit down to talk with others, we catch up on things and talk about what is going on as a common means of communicating with one another. And it's just part of our natural everyday routine. Except that it has become so routine that we don't think ahead or plan our conversations or insert in those conversations anything beyond the current things, and we forget about spiritual matters. Maybe we talk about our opinions. A lot of our conversations or discussions where we are offering our opinion, maybe on some of the topics we just looked at. When we're discussing politics, we give our opinions on the current administration and the one that's about to begin, or certain politicians, or existing or soon to be enacted laws. We give our opinion on the role of government, the size of government, the type of government, and 100 other things. And if somebody engages us in a conversation about sports, we talk about our favorite teams and or players, the ones that we dislike, last night's game or today's game, the Super Bowl or the World Series or the amount that professional athletes get paid, and 100 other things. We give our personal weather forecast for winter. You know, what's it going to be like this year? We give our opinion about what we think about today's weather, what it might be like tomorrow or next week. And we love conversations where others get to hear our opinions. But mostly it's what we're talking about is what interests us. We usually don't enter into conversations willingly or discussions where we are not interested in the topic or the discussion. If we're not interested in politics, we let it be known quickly that we don't like talking about that, or that we don't want to get involved in the conversation. If somebody starts talking about something that has no interest to us, we may turn off the old ears and really not listen to what they're saying, or we may be bold enough to plainly tell them we're not interested in that. But they may just keep on talking anyway. Sometimes we converse with others because of our interest in them and not necessarily in the topic of conversation. Well, the nature of these conversations is such that I think we all understand. Mostly, it's social. You know, a good part of our conversations are social interactions with others. I'm not telling you anything new. By definition, conversation is, quote, the ability to talk socially with others. That's what conversation is all about. But as one person defines it, conversation is, quote, a form of interactive, spontaneous communication between two or more people who are following the rules of etiquette. It is polite give and take of subjects thought of by people talking with each other for company, unquote. It's a social event. By its very nature, conversation is a social activity. And a good part of our conversation is mainly social interaction. And when we think of somebody who doesn't talk much, or talk to anyone else much, sometimes we say that they're antisocial because they don't say a whole lot. But on the other end of the spectrum, we say that someone who talks to anybody and everybody is a social butterfly. They love talking to others. Sometimes our conversations are informational, though, even in social conversations. But a lot of our business conversations are informational. We're either providing or we're receiving information, sometimes called functional conversation. And this is a conversation where one or more conveys information to those listening. That's what you're doing right now. You're listening to me provide some information to you. But even in casual conversation, we may impart some knowledge to the listener. Or I may receive some information that they convey to me. The point in this type of conversation is often for the purpose of giving relevant information that sometimes the speaker is the only one who thinks it's relevant. Sometimes the conversation is ended because the intended audience is not receptive to the information, often due to personal desires or biases. A lot of the conversations that we have are non-confrontational. Whether it's purely social or a matter of imparting information, most people are going to frame their words in a way that is not to be too blunt or direct and will avoid confrontation, if at all possible. And again, by definition, conversation is a social interaction and it's guided by rules of etiquette. In other words, we don't want to offend anyone. And sometimes those are unwritten rules. But to make a point that must be made here, the nature of most of our conversations are non-confrontational because we are uncomfortable confronting difficult topics and difficult people. And it's more than just being polite that we speak in ways that we don't upset others. It's most often because we do not want to lose some of that social interaction with others. Now, these are the common conversations that we have every day. But I want to talk about some uncommon conversations, ones that we should maybe make more common than what we do. And these are going to be conversations that they don't have to do with earthly concerns, but they have to do with spiritual concerns. And maybe it's a case of us turning some of those common conversations into something uncommon because we turned the subject to something spiritual. Look at John, the 4th chapter, where Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman at the well. And in this case, he starts off with a very simple request, a very earthly concern, give me a drink, in verse 7. But it led her to ask, at least to her own mind, why he was even talking with her, in verse 9. And Jesus seized this opportunity and piqued her interest even more by speaking about spiritual matters. But even she didn't understand that at first when he told her that if she had asked him, he would have given her living water. The point that we should see in this is that we also can turn any common conversation into an uncommon one that is about something far more important than mere social interaction or current events or information that is not really relevant to eternity. Certainly something more important than our opinions. Jesus began this conversation with a common request, but he wasn't thinking about just getting a drink of water. He was thinking about something far more important than satisfying his thirst. He was thinking about this woman's salvation and the salvation of others whom she would influence. When we see in his words and his purposeful turn towards spiritual matters, we see that that was his primary desire and that was his primary concern. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, I believe we would do well to follow his pattern and talk about something that is infinitely more important than the everyday things that we've looked at this morning. What we can turn these conversations to are discussions from Scripture. We see that when Paul came to Thessalonica, he wasn't there for tourism or sightseeing and relaxation. We see that wherever he went there because he understood, as he wrote to those in Rome in chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he had an answer for their sins. As Paul traveled throughout the world, his purpose was clear and singular, to teach the Word of God. And when he came to those in Thessalonica in Acts the 17th chapter, we see that he went into the synagogue as his custom was, and he reasoned with them from the Scriptures in verse 2, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." I want us to note that from this text that Paul came and he had discussions with others from the Scriptures. He didn't just sit down with them and start talking about the weather or the political situation in that area. He started talking to them about something of infinitely more importance. For all disciples today, when we turn the conversations toward religious and spiritual matters, let's not merely talk about these things as if they are just our opinion. Let's go to the Scriptures like Paul did and show them from the Scriptures what God's Word teaches. And let's not talk about religious and spiritual matters as if it's just our opinion. Let's discuss the Scriptures and what God says about our salvation, our sin, and eternal life. And of course, that's going to demand of us that we know the Scriptures. What is contained in the Scriptures, what they mean and how they apply to us. We too can bring to this lost and dying world the words of eternal life. But we have to know, first of all, what to teach and what they need to hear. Let's not waste our time in these common conversations, but speak the words to others that will bring to them forgiveness of sins and salvation to those who hear, believe, and obey. Let's be willing to teach others about Jesus. When Paul left Thessalonica and had to be hurried out of Berea, he went to Athens, we read later in the chapter, and he waited on the others. What we find in Acts the 17th chapter, as he comes here and he waits on the others, that he looked around at the city that he was in. And what do we find? Verse 16, beginning of chapter 17. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. He looked around, and he saw that the city that he was in was full of idolatry. And he didn't stop there. He was bothered in his spirit by what he saw. But verse 17, therefore, in other words, because his spirit was bothered within him, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. I want us to note here that Paul didn't take the time in his conversation to praise the Greeks and their interest in philosophy. He didn't stop and talk about the great architecture of the Greeks by looking around at all the temples. He taught them something that they needed to hear. Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Every day we know we have the opportunity to speak to others. Every day. So what do we talk about? Again, we often talk about current events and we give our opinions and we cultivate social relationships. But are we willing to talk about the most important thing that we could ever talk about? Eternal life in Jesus Christ. If we are to have these uncommon conversations, there are some things that it demands of us if we are to enter into these conversations. First of all, it's going to mean that we're going to have to confront others. Now, as much as we may try in common conversations to avoid confrontation, it simply cannot be avoided when we are talking about spiritual matters. When we're talking about things like sin and forgiveness and salvation. We cannot avoid the fact, again, Romans 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we must not avoid telling them the fact that unless they believe in Jesus, John 8 verse 24, they will die in their sins. If we care at all about their soul and their salvation, we're going to have to confront that fact and we have to be willing to be uncomfortable and say what needs to be said. And as we may know, many people believe today especially that they're good and that they're good people and that their good is enough to get them into heaven without ever having obeyed Jesus Christ. But let's not forget that even Jesus was not afraid to confront others. He was not, as some modern so-called scholars would have us believe, some wimpy pacifist who never said anything against anybody else. He taught the truth and he exposed the lies. He fashioned a whip to drive out people out of the temple on more than one occasion. Jesus offended simply many because he taught the truth and exposed the lies. And for that he was crucified. And brethren, if he was willing to die for the sake of truth, should we not be willing to suffer a little discomfort because we have to confront the sin of our friends and family? We have to be willing to impart information to others that sometimes they may not want to hear. As those who teach the words of Jesus Christ, whom the disciples said had the words of eternal life in John 6:68. We've been entrusted with the most important duty of imparting that knowledge, that information to those who are ignorant of the truth. It is becoming more the case that others with whom we speak know little or nothing about what the Bible teaches, and thus little about God and about Jesus as the Christ. What most know about Jesus is what they see on the History Channel, which doesn't teach anything from the Bible. What they know about Jesus is what they see in some advertisements about this time of year. Who will be the one to tell the world the truth about who Jesus is? Who will tell them about Jesus, the Savior of the world? Yes, we know God's Word tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved in Romans 10 verse 13. But Paul went on to ask, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 14. So are we going to be the one to inform them about Jesus Christ so they can call on Him? the demand of uncommon conversations is we need to be willing to face and accept rejection by others. We need to not worry about social relationships and whether or not we're going to keep those social relationships if we tell them about Jesus Christ. As we probably already know, there are very few who have a desire to talk about religious matters. And fewer still who want to listen when we begin talking about things of eternal importance. Well, we need to be okay with that. We need to be okay with being uncomfortable. That's just a fact of the world that we live in, and that's not going to get better. So what are we going to do? Well, the vast majority of people are going to reject the message when we try to tell them. Others are just not going to want to hear it because they're content with who they are or what they are religiously and what they believe, and so they don't want to hear anything else. They'll just say, keep your beliefs to yourselves. Let me believe what I want to believe. And so we need to be prepared to hear that rejection most of the time. But since we don't know who will or will not reject, we need to be willing to talk to anyone and everyone. So how do we change our hearts so that we might change our conversation? If we're used to having these common conversations about social activities and current events and giving our opinion, maybe imparting a little knowledge here and there about earthly things, how can we change our conversations? Well, it's going to start by changing our hearts. We've got to have spiritually focused minds and hearts. I want us to notice, as we look back to Acts chapter 17, when we look at Paul coming into Thessalonica, what we find in verses 2 and 3 is that Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. I want us to notice that that was the custom of Paul because, friends and brethren, that's who he was. He was someone who was most interested in the spiritual matters. His actions sprang from what was in his heart. And when his heart moved him, he spoke to these pagan idolaters in Athens in the hope that some would listen, obey, and be saved, and some did. And the same could be said about Jesus. And it was, for the Scriptures teach us that when the multitudes gathered to him in Mark the 10th chapter, in verse 1, as he was accustomed, he taught them again. As with Paul, Jesus taught the people, as was his custom, because that's who he was. That's what he was thinking about. That's why he had come to this earth. Friends and brethren, why are we here? If we want to have some uncommon conversations, we need to set our minds not on these earthly things and events, but on the heavenly things. If we are to truly speak from a spiritual mind and change our conversations to those that are spiritually focused, then that's where our mind has to be. That means we must, as Paul said, set our mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. If we are to change what we say, then this means we have to change what's in our heart, our minds. If we're not talking about spiritual things with our friends and family, then we don't have enough focus on the spiritual things, and that has to change. We must also be ones who are willing to show compassion to those around us. And I mean, in a spiritual sense, show compassion on those. Think about Jesus when he went about teaching. On one occasion here in Mark, the 6th chapter, we see that when Jesus looked out at the multitude, he saw them and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So what did he do? So he began to teach them many things. What do you think Jesus was teaching them but about spiritual matters? He looked out and he had compassion on them, not because he saw that they were poor or hungry, but because they had a spiritual need. And so he began to teach them. It's not just feeling sorry for someone and their condition, but it's acting to remedy that condition. When Jesus saw the people, he addressed that need by teaching them. He knew that just giving them food and water and maybe even some clothing would satisfy them only temporarily. He gave them something that would benefit them for all eternity. And that's what we need to do. We need to have a concern for the soul at the heart of our actions, where it should be, is compassion and true concern for the souls that are still in sin. If we are to speak the words of eternal life to those who are still lost in their sins, we have to do so not out of compulsion or because the preacher said I had to, but because we really love their soul and we want to do something to change their spiritual state. And that begins in the heart. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, who when he came to Athens, looked around and saw that the city was given over to idols, and he was disturbed in his spirit. It bothered him. And it bothered him so much that he began speaking to them about Jesus Christ. He needed to tell them what they needed to hear. He again did not take the Athenian temple tour of Athens. He didn't stop to admire the great architecture and the numerous sculptures of the various gods and the mythical figures. This disturbed him, and so he taught them about Jesus Christ. Paul was so convicted of the truth of the gospel that all he saw when he saw Athens was a city full of people who were deceived by the numerous false gods and false religions, and to him it was a disturbing sight that could only be corrected by the truth. Friends and brethren, we should be bothered too. Our modern world may have different idols than what Paul saw there in Athens, but we still have plenty of idols and things that distract the attention of most of this world's population. Are we bothered by what we do see? Are we bothered enough to start telling them about Jesus Christ? Are we seeing more and more the disinterest in spiritual matters where the material things are becoming the gods of more and more people? Do we see that just like those in Athens, there are many today who are deceived by human wisdom? Are we convicted in our hearts of what we say that we believe, so much so that it's enough to cause us to talk to them about Jesus Christ as the only answer? Can we talk about these things in our everyday lives from here on out? I believe we can if we have a heart to do so. Can we talk about something a lot more important than today's football scores, the latest political news, are keeping up with our social status? If we truly care for lost souls, and we should as disciples of Jesus Christ, then let us change these common conversations into uncommon conversations. Let's talk about what should matter most to us, because we are so convicted of His truth that we cannot help but tell others about it. Let us leave here today with a heart that is set on bringing the information of the gospel that teaches that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God who came to this earth and died for our sins, and that it is only through faith in Him that we have a hope of eternal life in heaven. Maybe there is somebody here this morning who has heard that truth of the gospel, but you've not yet obeyed it. My plea with you today, as the plea of everyone here, is that you obey the gospel that you might be saved. Jesus Himself said when He sent the apostles out to teach, it's the one who believes and is baptized that will be saved. Have you believed? And if you have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? The very first time that gospel was preached and the people asked, what must we do? The answer was this: repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And I would tell you the same thing today. If you've not yet done that, we plead with you to do so, that you might have the forgiveness of sins. Maybe there is somebody here this morning that's already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been living faithfully before God. Maybe you're here and you have sin in your life that needs to be taken care of. Whatever your need, please don't put it off another day. Don't make excuses. Take care of it while you have the time. Maybe you're here and you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?